and now the game where we invite people on to do something easy as a reward for doing something difficult. Lee Unkrich has helped make many Pixar movies, most importantly Toy Story 3, which he directed. So he followed up a movie in which he almost killed a beloved group of toys by making one in which almost everyone is already dead. His new movie, Coco, comes out this week, and we are delighted to talk to him about it. Lee Unkrich, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hey, Peter. Great to
be here. It's so much fun to have you on the show. Now, you are a big film guy. You went to film school, and I know, because I follow you on Twitter, that you are in particular a big fan of Kubrick and the movie The Shining.
I am, yes. The Shining, I first saw it when I was 12 years old.
Yeah.
My mom took me to see it in the movie theater, and it changed my life. It was the movie that made me want to make movies myself, and people are always surprised when they hear that the guy who directs all these beloved family films was most inspired by a really scary Stanley Kubrick movie, but that's the fact.
And that of course is what led to the brilliant and heartwarming axe murder scene in Toy Story 3. So what was it about that movie that made you say, yes, this is what I want to do with my life?
I think it was the first time that I sensed the hand of an artist behind the camera. I think up to that point in my life, movies were just about entertainment, and that was the first time that I started to see filmmaking as an art form.
Isn't it true that almost all animated films or films for children have all these various little inside jokes for adults that reference various movies and things that the writers and the director loves?
Yeah, I don't know that they all do, but we certainly do a lot in our films at Pixar. And part of it is that we spend so long making them. I just spent the last 6 years of my life making Coco. And you have a lot of free time on your hands. And we're all still kids at heart. And we get naughty sometimes and kind of hide little hidden things and references to other movies and inside jokes.
Can you tell us one in Coco?
In Coco? Well, just to keep things on topic, I always hide a few references to The Shining in every film that I direct.
Okay, I was going to ask you about that.
So
there are some in Coco.
Yes.
We'll let people discover those. Where are The Shining references in Toy Story 3?
In Toy Story 3, there's a license plate that says Room 237 on it.
Uh-huh.
There's a Kleenex tissue box that has the carpet pattern from The Shining in it. There's a bunch in that movie, a lot of little hidden things here and there.
How very cool.
Yeah.
I swear to you, I am going to ask you about Coco, which we saw and loved, but I have one last question.
Yes.
About Toy Story 3.
Uh-huh.
So you're at Pixar, and you came there, and you were working as a story editor, as a director. You were like, you helped on a lot of movies before you were put in charge of one, right?
Yeah, I started as a film editor on the first Toy Story, and then I edited A Bug's Life, and then I started co-directing. I co-directed Toy Story 2, Monsters, Inc., and Finding Nemo before John Lasseter then asked me to direct Toy Story 3.
And that must have been a big deal when you were saying, here are some of the most beloved characters created in film in the last 40 years. Do something with them.
Yeah, well, when John first asked me to direct it, I initially was elated and had a huge grin on my face, and then I had this like soul-crushing darkness fall over me and realized that I was now going to be responsible for making a sequel to two of the most beloved films of all time.
Right, and you did a pretty good job. There's that scene in that movie in which all the characters are about to be incinerated, and it's pretty serious stuff for a kid's movie. Did you guys get any pushback on that?
We didn't really at all, and I think people just felt like it was an intense scene, but it was kind of emotionally honest, and it was the right conclusion for that film. I had shown the reels, the storyboard reels, to my own kids several times, and they liked that scene a lot, but they weren't traumatized by it, certainly. I think that adults feel very strong emotions and they think about issues of mortality when they're watching that scene, but that's not the way kids are experiencing it. So it's very different for adults than kids. And I think a lot of adults just feel like parents especially feel like they maybe want to protect their children from those strong feelings they might be having themselves.
And the little boys are going, oh, they're going to burn. Cool. all right. Coco, you say, and you spent 7 years working in this movie that's about to come out. The movie is set in Mexico and around and in and the Day of the Dead celebrations. Where did you get this idea? Were you in Mexico and you were like,
Well, you know, I had long been interested in Dia de Muertos, and I, you know, I wanted to learn more. And the more I dove in and learned what the tradition is all about, which is about this obligation that we have to remember our loved ones and to pass their stories along to the next generation and make sure that their memories never die, it just felt like a really strong universal idea that we could explore and make a really interesting film from, a film that could be entertaining and musical full of adventure and bright colors and lots of comedy, but at the same time have a real emotional core, which is something that we always look for in our films at Pixar. Because we want, at the end of the day, we want the audience to come away feeling something.
I know that Pixar movies take a long time, but does that ever get, I don't know how best, does it ever get exhausting? You're in year three, and you're still 3 years away. And
you know, it doesn't get exhausting. It's a marathon, not a sprint. You know, we have to find stories that we're passionate about that we can maintain interest in for a long time. The thing that's challenging is that sometimes we'll have a really funny joke that makes us all laugh in the room, and then it's like 5 years before we actually animate that joke.
And
just have to trust ourselves and remember that we thought it was funny once 5 years ago and hope that the audience still finds it funny.
Well... Leon Critch, congratulations on the movie, which is amazing, but we are not done with you. We have asked you to play a game we're calling...
Doritos, Tacos, Cocos.
All right.
So your movie, Coco, pays homage to authentic Mexican culture, so we thought we'd ask you about a company that has done something a tad differently. That would be Taco Bell. Answer three questions about the, quote, Mexican, unquote, restaurant chain, and you win our prize for one of our listeners, the voice of their choice on their voicemail. Bill... Who is Leon Critch playing for?
Janet Rosef of Dobbs Ferry, New York.
Are you ready to play?
All right, let's do this thing.
All right, let's do. Do you go to Taco Bell? Did you go there for inspiration while making the film?
I can say that I did not go to Taco Bell to find inspiration.
All right,
but I have been at Taco Bell in my life.
Of course, between midnight and 3 a.m., like the rest of us. First question: It hasn't all been chalupas and soda for Taco Bell over the years. They were famously sued by a crusading law firm, which claimed what? A, they were mistreating their famous spokeschihuahua by feeding it Taco Bell food. B, Taco Bell seasoned beef is not in fact beef, but a weird oatmeal meat hybrid slurry. Or C, despite the name, no restaurant actually has a bell.
I think, let's go with B.
You're gonna go with B, and that's the correct one, Lee. That was the correct one. Taco Bell beef is, in fact, they sued, saying it's not really beef, and Taco Bell responded aggressively, saying, of course it's beef, but they also changed their ingredient listing to emphasize there were other things than beef in it, and the law firm withdrew its suit. Next question. Taco Bell isn't just for staggering into drunk at 3 a.m. to put something in your stomach to absorb all the Jell-O shots. You can also go to at least certain Taco Bell restaurants and do what? A, get married, complete with a taco catering package. B, get sober with Taco Bell Anonymous. Or C, get a GED with Taco Bell Academy.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I'm going to cross off B. And, I'm going to go with A.
You're right. You can get married. Of course, in Las Vegas, if you go to the Las Vegas Taco Bell, go upstairs, they will marry you. Last question. The company is generally doing very well. Their Doritos Tacos Loco was a huge success. But in 2007, they tried something that failed spectacularly. What was it? A, they launched an ad campaign saying, it's good because it's terrible. B, they tried to appeal to vegetarians with the Tofuco Bell. Or C, they tried to open a restaurant in Mexico.
What was the first one again?
They launched an ad campaign saying...
Oh, it's not that. I can imagine it's that. Why don't we go for B?
No, I was actually C. They tried to open a store in Mexico, and it failed. What happened was they opened these two restaurants in Mexico. They had to call their tacos something else because the Mexicans simply would not stand for that. So they were known as Taco Status, and both restaurants closed within 2 years. And as far as we know... There are like 15 Taco Bells on the island of Guam, but there are none in Mexico.
Huh.
Bill, how did Leon Critch do in our quiz?
By our calculations, you still won, Lee. Two out of three.
Good. May this be just the first of many awards that are coming your way this next year.
Well, thank you, Peter.
Lee Unkrich is a writer and director at Pixar. His latest movie, Coco, is, take it from me, yet another of Pixar's classics. It opens nationwide on November 22nd. Lee Unkrich, thank you so much for being with us on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. Just a minute, Bill takes it all off for the Listener Limerick Challenge. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to join us on the air. We'll be back in a minute with more of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.